How many of you have already blown all your resolutions already? Yeah, some of you. By your laughter, I can tell. Is this just going to keep going, Lauren? Let me grab the wireless down here. I do not want to be the epitome of the snap, crackle, pop guy this morning. So anyway, although that might be helpful to wake some of you up, hear that pop and go, what, who shot? Anyway, how's your sense of direction? Mine's pretty good. My wife's is challenged, and I'm pretty sure she knows that the sun, rises in the east and sets in the west, but when that comes to interstates and which one to take, it doesn't help that much. But I'm pretty good with mine, but I have gotten lost a few times in my life. I used to, when I was in college, I worked for a high-end furniture store. We had a couple of decorators that were associated with our store, and so we tended to do a lot of business all over Oklahoma. And so we would deliver furniture just about from one corner of the state to the other. And I had a guy that I worked with. His name was Pat. I love Pat. He was a couple years older than me. He was working on his degree at Central State, Oklahoma, there in Edmond. And I was going to Bethany Nazarene College out in Bethany. And he had been working at the store for longer than I had. He grew up in Oklahoma. And he was my boss, more or less. We worked together a lot. But on long trips, oftentimes we were going to deliver furniture. What would happen is he would drive on the way out, and I would sleep somewhere in the vehicle. In the truck, sometimes I would go and get in the back onto the brand new sofa. We were taking somebody's house. Somebody's got to break it in. And I would sleep there and try not to drool. And then on the way back, I would drive, and he would sleep somewhere. And so this was kind of our pattern. And one time we were going to Tulsa, and we got to Tulsa. That's a couple hours away from Oklahoma City, and we followed the directions that we were given. And back in those days, we didn't have GPS or anything, and so we either had paper maps or we had to depend on the customer's directions, which sometimes, I remember one time a lady said, go and turn by the big tree. That was exciting to find. But anyway, we drove to Tulsa. We found a place, the place that we were going to deliver the furniture at the house, which was kind of in a big neighborhood there in Tulsa. And then we like our pattern was, we found somewhere to go get something to drink. And then we switched, and I was driving us back. And since we'd gone to find somewhere to get something to drink on the way back, we weren't in the exact location. So I couldn't exactly go back the way that we had come. So I started driving and thought I knew where I was going. It was depending on my own internal GPS. And Pat says, you're going the wrong way. I said, no, I'm not. He said, yeah, you are. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I know exactly where I am. He said, where are you? I'm in Tulsa. And he said, this is not the way home. You need to turn around. And I said, no, this is a shortcut I'm taking, okay? Leave me alone. And because we kind of had this macho thing going, and if you ever got us lost, you never heard the end of it. And so I said, I know exactly, this is a shortcut. And he said, you're going in the wrong direction. And so the more insistent he was, you ever been with somebody like this? Like, you're pretty sure where you're going, but the more insistent they are that they're right and you're wrong, you begin to have doubt. And so I began to have some doubt, but I thought, man, if I am going the wrong way and I turn around, and I make a turnabout here, I'll hear about it till the end of time. And so I just kept going. And then I realized, I really am lost. I don't know where I am. And so then it became this ego thing, and I thought, what am I going to do, right? Because if I admit it, Pat's going to just be on me forever and all this. And then all the guys back at the furniture store are going to hear about it, and it's going to be a big joke. And I thought, my ego can't take this. And so I thought, what am I going to do? And then I remembered, Pat's going to go to sleep in a few minutes. I'm just going to keep going the way I'm going. And then when Pat goes to sleep, I'll turn around. And sure enough, Pat went to sleep. And I turned around. 2 hours later, I woke him up in Oklahoma City. First thing I said to him was, I said, hey, we're back at the warehouse. I said, see, I told you I knew where I was going. And Pat, if he watches this, I'll probably get hounded or get an email, right? You know it's worse when it's your spouse, right? Men, you know this. Your wife says, you're lost. No, I'm not. You're lost. No, I'm not. And then it's a horrible thing when you have to admit that you're wrong and turning around. We have this trouble spiritually as well. we started talking about this in the series this week called Turnabout, where sometimes it's difficult for us, because the thing that has to happen for you to have a turnabout in your life, for you to turn around and go a different direction, for there to be a change in your life, is that you've got to admit that you've been going the wrong way. And we have a hard time with that sometimes. I mean, that's really hard for us to do. I mean, honestly, in order, like, just take your diet, right? If you decide you've got to lose some weight, you got to admit to yourself, I shouldn't be eating those Twinkies all the time, right? I shouldn't be up eating double stuffed Oreos with milk at midnight. I shouldn't be doing that. That's wrong. I can't do that anymore. That's how I got fat, you know? So I shouldn't be doing that. And it's hard for us, though. Our ego sometimes won't let us. We realize we're going the wrong way, and we've got a dilemma. What are we going to do? Do I just eat crow and admit, hey, do I admit, God, you know what? You were right, and I was wrong. God, you were correct that led me down a bad path, and that had a negative impact on my life, and I was wrong about that, and you're right, and I need to turn around. Or, you know, do we sometimes, like in our lives, do we kind of think, maybe if I wait long enough, God will go to sleep. You know, he'll forget about it. You know, I think sometimes we think God puts things that, like, we'll be in service like this, or we'll be reading our Bible in the day, or we'll be praying, and God will nudge us a little bit, and he'll say, you know what, you need to make a change here. And we'll go like, well, yeah, maybe, okay, God, we'll talk about this later, and you just think God will forget about it. I have to tell you, God has this memory where he doesn't forget things like you and I do, where he never sleeps. Needing to change, getting a fresh start is difficult for us sometimes. It's hard because we want to save face. I you know, at the gym right now, Kola, I go to Kola Gym, and it's covered up right now. Because lots of people are trying to make changes, and they're trying to do a turnabout in their health, and so they're coming to the gym. I never understood. Kola has a membership night. I think it's the first Monday of every month. You know what they serve at that? Free pizza. I don't understand that, but, you know, they've got a successful business, and I'm still fat. So anyway, they must know what they're doing. But we're looking to turn around, and we're looking to go a different direction, but our pride screams at us that we keep heading the wrong way. I wonder, in your life right now, is there an area of your life where you know you need to make a change, and you're having a really difficult time doing it? Maybe you're having a hard time admitting that what you were doing is wrong. It's really hard. If you're trying to put your marriage back together again, you know there needs to have a change in your marriage. It is hard for us sometimes to acknowledge to our spouse that we've been doing the wrong thing, and we're going to change things. Things are going to be different. It's hard when you've been really, really not leading your kids spiritually the way that you should. To say to your children, you know, Dad's not been the spiritual leader they need to be. But I'm going to acknowledge that I've been going the wrong direction, but I got a new direction for us. It's hard to acknowledge in your finances that you've been, it's just name it, and it's hard. It's hard for us to really make a turnaround sometimes. There are places where God says he wants us to, where he wants us to do a turnabout, and our ego is just screaming and hoping God will fall asleep. How do you live into that? Now, last week we talked about making a turnabout requires us to understand that God's the expert on our life and not us. I'm not the expert in my life. God is. We looked at the story of Peter, right? And God knew Peter inside and out. And so part of Peter having a turnabout in his life was Peter being willing to say, whatever you say, you're the boss, because you say so. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. I'm going to know that you're the expert, not me. I'm going to know that you know better. I know that you care about me more, that you see further into the future than I do. You understand things that are going. You're the master, and because you're the master, because you know what's best for me, I'm going to do what you say. It's because he says so, I need to obey. But for most of us, navigating a change like that is difficult. Because we've been used to doing and letting, you know what the master's been in our life? Our mind, our emotions, our hurts, Somebody did something to us, and boy, the way we respond to people and the way that we respond in situations, that's the thing that determines how we respond. Our temptations, those things have been our master. But to let him be our master, letting someone else be in control, letting someone else guide me, letting someone else make the decisions can be a difficult transition. How do you do that? Sometimes it's very difficult. What does it look like practically to live a turnabout lifestyle with Jesus Christ? I want you to look, Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to read this to you in the Message because I love the way the Message puts this. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. Paul's talking to the Ephesians, and he's saying, you know what? You used to be going the wrong direction. You used to be headed, you used to let your desires and your passions be the master of your life. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs, take in this imagery. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing us. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives, and he made us alive in Christ. And he did all this on his own with no help from us. Paul says, look, this is the way you used to live. And this was what used to be your master. You used to let the world and the culture tell you how to live. And you used to be, you know, captivated and held captive by your desires. But here's what I'm saying. Christ, God came and he changed you. He made you alive in Christ. He changed your life. He helped you do a turnabout. When we say yes to him, when we say, I want you to be in control, I want you to be Lord of my life, he makes us alive. And it goes on in verse 7. There now, which is in some translations, it's therefore, which means that, okay, so because God's done all this, right, in our life, now, God has us where he wants us, with all the time in the world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea in all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. Nope. We neither make or save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he's gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. How do you live into a turnabout? I want to talk to you about that this week and next week as well. You've made a decision now. You're going to let him turn your life around, right? You've made this decision that you're going to follow him and let him be the master of your life. He's Lord of your life. He's the expert on you, and you're going to do whatever he tells you because he says so. But how do you live into that? Well, first of all, I want to tell you this morning, I think you need to think about connection rather than production. You'll notice in what we read, he says that you don't save yourself and you don't make yourself. God's the one who does that. God saves you and God keeps you. God saves you and God sanctifies you. He's the one that does it, not you. What's our role? What's my part? It's connecting with him. Jesus gave us a great picture of this in John 15 once. He uses this metaphor to talk about being connected with him. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. I have to remain and be connected to him. One time in one of our churches, we had some apple trees, some small apple trees that had been planted on the property. And we were doing cleanup one day and a work day. And they gave me a set of power shears. So I went to work on trimming some of the, this was one of the smaller trees, this apple tree. I went to work kind of trimming it up a little bit. One of the things I didn't realize is that I severed a few of the branches from the trunk of the tree. They never gave me the shears again. But I didn't know it right away. Matter of fact, it wasn't until like a few weeks later when, you know what happened? The branch began to die. It began to wither, and all the apple blossoms on it began to die and began to wither. Why? Because the branch gets its sustenance from the trunk. The branch gets its nutrients from the trunk. Apples can't grow on the branches unless the branch is tied into the trunk of the tree. That connection is what causes it to be fruitful. And that's what Jesus is saying about you and me. It's true about a turnabout in our life. He's saying, if you're a follower of mine, you're the branch, and if you stay connected, you're going to bear fruit in your life. These turnabouts that you're trying to make, these changes that you're trying to make, you can't do them by yourself. If you could do them by yourself, you probably would have already done them. You need him to help you. You're trying to be more patient. Maybe you're trying to be more kind. Maybe you're trying to be more gentle. And if you're not, maybe your spouse would love for you to have that fruit in your life. Maybe you're trying to be more self-controlled, which a lot of us at this time of the year are working on. You'll only make a turnabout and see those things in your life, Jesus is saying, if you stay connected to me, because that's what in Ephesians, Paul says, he's the one who changes us and he's the one who makes us. He's the one. You've got to be connected to him. It's connection first and production second. The connection, and then the fruitfulness. We get it backwards. I grew up in the church. And I remember growing up in the church, I always thought the opposite, that it was about production first and then connectivity. You know? Back in my day, when I was a little kid going to church, if you were a man with long hair and tattoos and earrings, well, you had to get rid of that stuff before you could be connected. Because it's about me, my production first. And then it's about connection. We think of turnaround in my life, you know, it's like, Jesus, if I get myself cleaned up, if I get myself right, if I get everything straightened out, if I get everything, I hear it all the time. People say, Pastor, you know, I hadn't been to church lately, but I'm having a real hard time. And when I get that fixed, when I get that figured out, when I start doing that, when I get that changed in my life, I'll be back. Because we think it's about production rather than connection. And that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's connection first. Then we're changed because we don't change ourselves. The gospel is that he takes us right where we are, ugly warts and all, earrings, long hair, tattoo, abusive mouth, a lustful heart. He takes us right where we are, and then he asks us to be grafted into him. And when we're grafted into him, he begins to change us and produce fruit in us in keeping with repentance, fruit that's in keeping with holiness. Because that stuff comes from him, not from me. My part, what did he say our part was? Trust him. He didn't say, go get yourselves fixed and then present yourselves at the church. He didn't say, go get yourself fixed and then tell me that you're mine. No. He asked you to be his right where you are today. Ugly warts and all. Fears and all. Hurts and all. He invites you to come and get plugged in. And then when you get plugged into him, when you abide in him, all this stuff starts flowing through your life that will transform you and change you. I'm sorry, I got to preach and I have no idea where I am on my sermon. We can't save ourselves. That's God's work. And we can't make ourselves. That's God's work. It's not about my production, it's about my connection. And what I have to do is trust him. And so when we think of terms about when we think about change, right, we think about a turnabout and we think, well, I need more patience or I need more self-control or I need more joy in my life. I need to be more positive. I need more faith so I won't be more negative. I want to be more encouraging so I won't be more critical. I got all these changes I need to make. And Jesus is telling us whatever it is we think we need, our real need is to be more like Jesus. Our real need is to be more deeply connected
to him. Our real need is to trust him more for those things. So that when that fear begins to wash over me, right? We sung about this today. Great song pick, Jeremy. We sung about this today. When that fear begins to overwhelm me and creep in on me, I need to remember I am a child of God. And while me, myself, Brian, may give in to fear, I am tapped in to courage. I am tapped into strength. I am tapped into a power that I don't care what it is that's coming against me. I've got something that will sustain me so I don't have to be afraid. I am a child of God. And I have a good father who's going to take care of me, who's going to bring good out of all these situations I'm in. He's got me. So when the enemy tells me I'm alone, it's like, I don't want to electrocute myself accidentally. You know, it's like give the devil a raspberry, man. Look, I'm a child of the king. I'm his. I'm tapped into him, man. You better go pick on a dead branch somewhere that's not. Because I'm tapped into him. So that all the patience and all the grace and all the love and all the joy, all the encouragement, all the peace that I need is found in him. So you know what this morning? Whatever it is that you think you need, don't think production. Think I need a deeper connection with him. Because if you'd make a deeper connection with him, there would be greater fruit in your life. And when there's greater fruit in your life, you're going to have everything that you need, no matter what's going on. It's not about trying harder. It's about connecting deeper. It's about trusting more because he's the one that changes me and he's the one that makes me. How do you abide deeper? Well, prayer and being in the Word are great places to start. I think being in worship is a great place to start. I mean, you know, the average church attender, the faithful church attenders today in all the surveys attend 1.7 times a month. That's not enough. You want to tap in? Man, you need to make worship a regular part. Singing these songs, praying together, being with your brothers and sisters in Christ, that's how you tap in deeper. We can abide better by surrendering, by trusting him more. How are you abiding in him? How's it going? 2019. Are you tapping into his strength and his power in your life? Are you letting his power and presence in your life produce fruit in you that's making a turnabout possible in you? Let me give you another one this morning. Think progress, not perfection. For some of us, we want everything to be perfect. And when we fail and we're not perfect at it, well, you know what happens. We're like, what's the point in even trying, right? And so we think about the future. You might wreck a resolution and say, you know what, I'm not going to curse anymore. You know, I'm going to clean up my potty mouth, or I'm not going to lust, and I'm not going to look at porn, or I'm going to be more forgiving and gracious this year, whatever it is. And you do okay for a while, but then you struggle at it, right? You let a curse word slip or two, and happens today, happens the next day, it happens the next day, and after a while you think, well, man, what's the point? I'm not even going to try. Or, you know, you try not to lust, you try not to give into it, but things happen and you do and you think, man, I ruined that for this year. Maybe next year. We'll try next year. There'll be another one. That's what's going to happen at the gym right now, right? Because it's covered up right now. But come mid-February, it'll go back to regular, normal emptiness. Because everybody will give up. Because they did pretty good the first week I was there at the gym every day. And then the second week I was there every other day. And then the third week I went one day this week. And then by the fourth week you're like going, what's the use? It's kind of like when you do diets. I know a lot about dieting, okay? And so I like dieting, right? You go to lunch with somebody and they order the chili cheese fries. They say, hey, pastor, have a chili cheese fry. And I try to say, fry, get thee behind me, but I try to pray the calories out of it, done all that stuff. But I eat the chili cheese fries. And then I say, boy, Chris Ireland, quit doing that to me. No. Then I go home that night. I think, well, Lou says, we don't have anything for dinner. What do you want to eat? And I'm thinking, well, I already ate cheese fries. I blew it today. Let's go get pizza, okay? Because that's a good diet food right there. You know what it's like, right? At some point, you kind of get frustrated again. And you think, you know what? I can't do this, and we end up quitting. That's the way a lot of us are in our turnabouts. If we start and we try and we fail, and then we think, well, I can't do it anymore. Some of you have done that with God. There's somebody sitting in here this morning who says, I've tried and I've tried and I tried, and I just didn't get it right. I couldn't be perfect. And boy, we're bad about that in holiness churches sometimes, because we think we get saved, sanctified, and petrified. Like nothing, but we're human, you know? And there are more people giving up on sanctification and being holy before God because they couldn't be perfect. That's not what Christian perfection is. It's about your heart. We're human, and sometimes we fail and we struggle. And the worst thing we can do is to give up. Some of you have been trying, like since the first year, trying to Bible reading plan. And you did real well the first week. Maybe this week wasn't so good. Next week will be worse, and you'll just throw it away. Or maybe we won't pray as much. Maybe community group. Maybe, listen, here's what Paul said about this. Philippians 3. I want to know Christ, yes. I want to know Christ. To know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I got a goal, right? I want to attain to the resurrection of the dead. I want new life at the end. That's my goal. Not that I've already obtained all this, though. I'm not perfect at it. Or I've already arrived at my goal. I still have good days and I still have bad days, but you know what? I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Some days aren't my best, but I'm not giving up. I don't give in. I'm not thinking I have to be perfect. I'm just thinking I have to keep moving forward. I have to keep making progress. The word for pressing forward in the original language means to pursue with everything you've got. I keep putting it all out there. I keep laying it all on the line. I'm not letting up. I'm not backing down. I won't be denied. You claim victory one day at a time, and you do it in the name of Jesus. We're so bad about quitting. You know, there are folks who used to sit in these seats who gave up. But you've hung in here. We're putting one foot in front of the other. Now, in off-season of football, we had a big motorcycle and bike track that some kids had made in this big, like, 3-acre field that was near our high school. So in the off-season, we would go out there and we would run. And of all the linemen, not talking about the defensive backs and the halfbacks, I finished. Not because I was the fastest, but because I was the most determined. Because here's what I figured out, and Avery Moore knows more about running long distance. Obviously, I do not know a lot about long distance running. But I remember this. I figured out all I got to do is keep putting one foot in front of the other. I don't have to be the fastest. But I got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. I got to pick this foot up. And I plod along, but I never stopped. I stayed after it. And that's what you have to do in life sometimes. And it's sometimes what you have to do with God. And see, he's the one who saves me, and he's the one who's making me. And if he's making me, I got to hang with him, you know? Because I'm a long-term project. And here's the thing. Here's the thing I know about God. He will never give up on you. Amen. Never. Everybody else might. Your family might. Your friends might. Your workplace might. But he will never give up on you. Your church should never give up on you. I want us to be a church where we don't give up on people. Just because it's hard, and just because they're slow, and just because they stumble, and just because they fall. Why? Because God's not given up on them yet. And I don't want you to give up on me. Please, I don't want to go to a church where people will discard me and give up on me, where people won't love me like Jesus, where people won't hang in there with me the way that Jesus will. I want to go to a church where people hang with you like Christ does. And I want to be that kind of person. And so, yeah, I have good days and I have bad. And I have times I stumble and I have fall. But man, I am still trying to put one foot in front of the other and follow Jesus. That's what holiness is about. It's not about being perfect. It's about continuing to follow Jesus. Because too many people stop along the way. Too many people give up. Too many people bail out. And so that means that every day, if I'm going to move forward, yeah, anybody ever watch Galaxy Quest? I love that movie. Never give up, never surrender. There's your enthusiasm for the moment, okay? Take that, that's the thing. You do a meme for me, put it on Facebook, I'll put it on our page. But anyway, but that's what God wants. Never give up, never surrender. So what does that mean for me every day? It means every day I pray, Lord, today. God, today will you help me not give up? God, will you help me be patient today? I wasn't so good yesterday. I had a breakdown. Would you give me patience today? Lord, would you give me the strength to have self-control that I know you want me to have? Today, to help me to have self-control. Make me. God, would you help me to be a person of peace? See, because the Bible, again, Jesus said to us to do what? Take up your cross every day. He said, take up your cross daily. Not one time and it's over and follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. And we're taught to pray. What are we taught to pray? Give us our daily bread. God, today I need help. God, today I won't be successful if you're not with me. God, I don't know about yesterday, but I know today I'm giving it to you. I trust you. You save me. God, today make me. Be with me today. Even if it's, I know some of us struggle with forgiveness. Maybe today you need to pray, God, today help me to forgive them for today. And you get up tomorrow and you say, Lord, help me today, Father, will you help me get up today and forgive them? And then you get up another, and then one day, as God begins to make you, maybe even years down the road, you get up and you realize I don't have to pray that because I've really forgiven them. It's gone. God, today, Lord, help me not to lust or look at pornography today. Lord, help me to not be angry today. Help me to be a person of love and grace today. Just help me to love one person today. Help me share my faith with one person today. What if every day we as a church got up out of bed and said, God, I am scared to death to share my faith with others, but today, would you help me share my faith with somebody? Lord, today, give me encouragement. Give me bread for today. Help me to trust you with my finances today. Help me to have joy instead of grief today. Think progress, not perfection. We're going to share some more of these next week, but I was in San Diego this week. The denomination, General Church, sent me out for some new training on planning house churches, and I was in San Diego. It was 65 all week. Yeah, it was a joy coming home. And I came home early, though, because of the weather, and Southwest let you do free flight exchanges because they weren't promising I could get in here on Saturday. The headquarters made my reservations, and I didn't want to miss being here this morning, and so I came back a little bit earlier. But because I did that, I was all in a frenzy and everything. I got off. If you've ever been to the airport in San Diego and ever flown Southwest, they have two different security areas that they have gates at. And now I found out they have three because I went to the wrong one. And normally they check that, the TSA, but, you know, they're not getting paid right now. And so I guess they're angry and they're going to take it out on us. And so I went through, did all the stuff, got undressed. I had four of those bins, you know, and I'm trying. It's a horrible time. I almost lost my pants going through check. Anyway, it's terrible. And so I got on the other side and I looked around and I got all dressed again, got everything in my arms and looked for my gate and went, my gate is not here. So I went over to the TSA agent, and she said, yep, that gate is, I said, well, is it in the other one then? I got the wrong, she said, yeah, you got the wrong one, but it's not even in that one. This one is way down. That flight's being flown out of the third security checkpoint. And she said, yeah, she said, you're going to have to take all your clothes off again. And so I went down and went through the whole process again. Now, I had a choice. I could have said, you know what? I got all checked out and been stubborn and decided to sit right there and stay right there. Or I had a choice to go through whatever I needed to go through to get at the right gate to get on the right plane to come home. I guarantee you, if I hadn't gone through it again and submitted myself to the TSA, I wouldn't be here today. I'd still be waiting in that part of the airport. There's a movie Tom Hanks made about living in the airport, and I don't want that to be me. But the reality is that some of us get stuck. And we think, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. And we're kind of stubborn about it. And we're not willing to go through what we need to go through to get a turnabout. Listen, let me tell you something. When you get turned around, it's well worth it. If God's talking to you about something in your life, if there's an area of your life that you're trying to clean up and you're realizing you can't do it and you're trying to make yourself presentable to God, I want you to know this morning, you're not supposed to save yourself. He does the saving. He does the making. And if you're struggling with something this morning, it's not about making that different in your life as much as it is plugging into Him and letting Him make it different in your life. So where are you this morning? Where are you stuck? Where are the places where you've been trying to do it and you really realize this morning you need God to do it? Where are the places where you need to plug deeper into Him, connect in, quit trying to fix it and produce it yourself? Is there a place in your life where you need to trust Him more? There's somebody here this morning that's given up. Maybe you gave up on Jesus. Maybe you gave up on the church. Maybe you gave up on change. You've been in this battle and you can't seem to you can't seem to get it right. Perfection escapes you. All I want you to know this morning, it's not about perfection. God wants you to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Where is it that you need to step out this morning and trust Him and say, God, I need you to make me new. I need you to make me over. When Paul said something in that scripture, he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Did you know there's a reason God made you? And there's a reason God created you? There's a reason why He's reaching out to you this morning. Because it said there in Ephesians that He has work for us to do. That He has things that He wants to give us and bless us with. And He has people around us and things that He wants to bless through us. But we got to live into that. We got to live into the reason that He has taken hold of us. Paul says, I hadn't got it all quite right yet. Maybe you don't either. But Paul says, I keep on running. I keep on struggling for the prize. What about you this morning? Is there an area this morning where you just need to surrender and say, God, help me. I know I need to connect more with you. God, help me. I need to take a step with you today. Will you bow your head and pray with me this morning? Father, in this season of my life and my ministry, I am more and more praying David's prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Anything that offends you, anything that breaks fellowship with you, God, anything that keeps me from you and connecting with you and having your grace and your love and your mercy and your presence flow through my life. Lord, point it out to me now and give me the courage to confess it, to say, you're right. I know that's a place in my life where I've struggled, and I've struggled to give it to you, and I've been trying to do it myself. God, this morning, will you put the want to in my life? Will you help me to trust you with it? Whatever it is, maybe for you this morning, there's something sinful in your life. Maybe it's something that's unconfessed. Maybe it's somewhere you're stubborn. And God says one thing and you say another. Would you agree with God this morning and say, oh God, I give up. It is what you say it is. And it's doing to me what you say it's doing. Forgive me. God, will you forgive me this morning? Lead me in the way everlasting, Lord. Free me from it all so that I can be rooted in you, so that you can not only can save me today, but that today, Father, you might make me more like Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, but today you sense his presence and you long to be connected with him, would you just confess to him? Just say, Lord, I need you. I know I need you. I repent. I'm going to turn and I'm going to quit doing it my way and I'm going to start living your way because I want what Jesus did on the cross to count for me. I'm not counting on my own goodness. I'm counting on what Jesus did for me for my salvation. Just ask him to do that today. And if you're a follower of Jesus and you've let some junk get in the way and keep you disconnected, or maybe you've thought you've had to produce it and get it right, would you just repent of that today? God, I'm sorry. Lord, I don't want anything to stop my connection with you. Maybe you got a deal that's really big in your life, something that's really bearing down on you and you're frustrated with it. And today you realize it's not about perfection, it's about progress. Would you just ask God today, God, help me today. Help me to forgive that person for today. Help me today to not lust. Help me today to not curse, but may there be blessings coming out of my mouth. Help me today not to gossip, but may I give encouragement in people's lives. God, whatever you need to do to make us more like you, will you do it? We give ourselves to you this morning. We thank you for saving us, and we ask you to please, please, Lord, don't give up on us. Keep on making us like your son, Jesus. For we ask it and pray it in your name. Amen.